The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome back to the Atlanta Podcast. I'm your host, Mappy Davis. So good to be with you recording here at RCR Video. Randall and Ray will make you look phenomenal. Got a movie, got a commercial, got a corporate thingy, mabob. Please hire these guys. They are awesome. RCR Video. I'm recording here all the time now, and I love it. I want to get right to today's program, which is super fast turnaround for me. As you know, I have plenty in the can. It takes a while to get to certain people, but this special interview that I'm about to give you just happened. And honestly, I'm bringing it really fast for a certain group of people, and I hope the rest of you enjoy it, and I think you will, but just got to be real and say that this is for the folks that I went to school with way back in the late 80s. Paige and I went to middle school and then high school together, East Cobb Middle School, right there on Holt Road, and then Joseph Wheeler High School across the street. And we graduated in 90, which is like weird because my point of reference was like, oh, 90, 90, forgetting that all the years leading up to it were the fucking 80s, man. So we're going to get into the career Paige has taken on, which is in the film business, and she's worked on a gazillion massive projects you've heard of, like Hunger Games, like, I don't know, I had her IMDb up here. You can look her up later. The Accountant, a ton of other stuff. And I bet she's probably got a ton more that isn't on IMDb as that stuff goes. But I think there's some great lessons in there about following your dreams, about work, about a lot of things. But specifically, we are going to talk about the class of 1990 at Wheeler High School and the many years leading up to that. So, If it's too in the weeds on that for you, that's okay. You can stop listening. I'm okay with it. But for those of you who are in my class, who are listening, I really hope you enjoy it, and I would love some feedback. All right, Paige and I from just the other day. Hold on to your hats, Wildcats. Ooh, that rhymed. Away we go. Right, so the person I'm looking at, I haven't seen.
You're about to do math.
We graduated in 1990.
1990, there you go. That's easy math. Wow.
I stuck around for a few years. I was here between 90 and 96, but we did not cross paths.
No. No, we did not.
I don't believe. Nope. Did you go to the University of Georgia?
No, I did not. I went to the United States Navy.
Okay.
And that didn't work out well. And then I moved to Athens because that sounded like a lot more fun.
Okay, what year did you get to Athens?
91.
Okay, because I tell people that, well, I did not go to the University of Georgia. I spent between like 89 and 95 many evenings drunk there because we all had friends that went there.
Right. So we were there at the same time.
But just not.
No.
I mean, I lived here, but I would go up there to get wasted.
Where'd you hang out?
Wherever the Stone Souls were playing.
We were at Mellow Mushroom downtown all the time.
Do you remember Adam Leland and Eric Leland?
I remember the names.
So they were Adam was a grade behind us. Eric was a grade ahead of us. And they were my best buds in high school. And so they were always in bands. For a while, Rob Rutledge was in that band.
Oh, I remember Rob Rutledge.
Rob is a guy that I still talk to.
That's cool.
Not that often. There's a tiny... So my little group, if you will, from back then... But see, now that I think about it, it wasn't even because it had already started to splinter by high school. So John Cullum, Rob Rutledge, John Dolson, those guys. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Liana, who I've run into a couple times.
Okay.
Remember Liana?
No.
Black dude, we didn't have a lot of them.
Don't remember. We didn't. It was really fucked up. Yeah, I thought about that the other day. So, I was like, wow.
So when I came back to Atlanta in 08.
Okay.
I'm really bad at math.
It's okay.
I think 08.
All right.
It was kind of when Facebook was coming around, like 08, 9, 10. And it was like, oh my God, like we started like our generation was like, oh my God, Facebook. And look at all these people. Like we connected to everybody because we hadn't talked to them. And then it turns out, I didn't like most of them the same way I didn't like most of them.
That's how
20 years before.
That's how I felt too. I was like, wow, I can't remember why I wasn't friends with a lot of people when I was in high school. Huh? Crazy.
Right.
Yeah.
Cause I had always said that. I remember distinctly when, I was at my buddy Adam's house and his uncle was over and he was like at his 30th reunion at the time. And I said, I don't think I would go to reunions cause I only like these four people right now.
Yeah.
And those are the probably people I'll talk to. Mm-hmm. And if you look back, even though I'm not close with them, those people are the only ones I even think about talking to. The sure. Lelands, Rob, John Cullum, John Dolson, Dave Henson and I were buds for a while.
Oh, Dave Henson. Right? Good guy, yeah.
Right? And again, I don't hang out with these people, right. But that's who I talked to forever ago. That's who I talk to now. Because I would go to lunch with people and I would have coffee with people. I'm like, oh yeah, I don't really.
I don't like you.
I don't. Well, just
I don't
want to
hang out with you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's cool to have coffee every once in a while, but yeah, I don't want to hang out with you and like be your buddy.
Right. And then I went to the 25. I had skipped all the other reunions.
I was supposed to be at that. My friend photographed it.
I had skipped all the ones before it. I finally went to the 25 and I thought this was nice. And now I can go another 25 without ever seeing these people again.
That's how it was for you? You didn't have a blast? It wasn't like amazing and...
I think she's being sarcastic.
I can't imagine how it was. The pictures look like everybody had a really good time.
Because pictures show... I mean, so first of all, I'm not even a drinker, right?
That doesn't help when you're at a
exactly,
function like that.
Exactly.
I bet everybody was hammered.
Well, I don't remember anybody like embarrassing themselves. I also don't stay that late, right?
There you go, right.
Like, so I'm sober a really long time.
Congratulations.
And so I just don't... It's just not... You know, there's a couple of things I've heard people say, like when they go to parties and they go, well, when the first drink gets spilled, that's when it's like, okay, time to go.
Yeah.
Or the first time you notice somebody repeat themselves, you go, okay, it's probably time to go.
Right.
So somewhere that's probably my thing too, is like, this person's not really fun anymore.
It's your cue.
Like I always say like, I didn't like being around drunk people when I was drunk.
No.
Why would I want to be around drunk people now?
I agree. I don't go out much because of that. I'm like, I don't like being around drunk people. So they're everywhere. And so I typically wait when they're not anywhere to go places. It's great.
All right. So you go to the Navy because?
I didn't know what the hell else to do. And I certainly wasn't going to college. I knew that. I wanted to see a little bit of the world and do some traveling and that kind of thing.
Right.
And it did not work out that way at all. Not even a little bit. I got really sick and ended up getting booted out and went home. And
they kick you off for being sick?
Well, yeah. They give you a medical discharge or an other than honorable discharge, depending on what your issue is.
Right.
And my issue, unfortunately, was severe and plagued me my whole life and will continue to.
Did you think it was going to be like Top Gun?
No. No, but I do remember seeing that movie in the theater in eighth grade. It was the day our last day of school in eighth grade.
Was it?
Yeah, it absolutely was. A bunch of us saw it at the Galleria. I have a really weird memory about stuff like that.
I went to the Galleria and saw that movie.
Well, I think you were there. There were like 30 of us. There was a bunch of us that saw that movie.
So this is amazing. This is so great. We're having this conversation. And I honestly don't care if people don't care because we're going to start like naming names.
Okay. Oh shit. Here we go.
I was on a date with Kim Bryant.
I went there with and sat next to Carrie Evans. I'm pretty sure Kim Bryant was there because Stephanie Atchley was there also. So most likely Kim Bryant was there too.
So this is the first movie that I like made out to.
Wow. Yeah.
Like we
really?
Made out the whole movie.
Did you?
And like we were in the corner and all the other friends were over here.
Right.
This is amazing that you were there, 1986.
Yeah,
I fucking love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
Our last day of school.
And I had to go back and see it like with other friends like a week later because I missed the whole fucking thing.
Yeah.
Right?
That's pretty funny.
This is amazing.
Yeah.
I feel like we're bonded for life now.
We might be.
Because I know Kim and Courtney were BFFs.
I think anyone who can remember that they were at that movie, we should start a little club.
We do.
They're doing another one, so we should most definitely go see it together, which is going to be really bad.
Okay,
so.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm sorry you don't drink.
Well, I will come.
Good.
I will.
You know, the rest of us might be drunk.
Let's make this happen.
Okay.
Like, do those people still live here?
I don't know. Gosh, I don't know. I really don't. I see a lot of them on Facebook because I'm friends with a lot of people on
Facebook.
Okay,
I will commit to seeing it with you.
Okay, I'm with you.
And then we can maybe bring other people or not.
Well, Kim has to come, I think.
Oh, well, I don't think so. It's a little weird for me.
Is it weird for you?
Well, You know what I'm saying? Maybe she doesn't have that memory, but I distinctly remember. I was very excited. What year? How old are you in that? In 80s?
13.
Right.
Oh my God.
I know.
13?
Right.
Oh.
So.
My nephew's 13.
I won't sit next to her. That's for sure.
Okay. All right, Kim. So if you want to come, you can't sit by Matt.
Right. Bring your husband. I'll sit in the other aisle.
Yeah. And your kids.
Whatever.
So it'll be even.
Well, I'm not
going
to bring my kids to Top Gun.
<Just kidding.
laughs> But that's funny that I don't remember it as being the last day of school. I just remember I was so excited to be with a girl.
Yeah, I remember being the last day of school because I remember thinking, what the hell else am I going to do all summer long?
Do you know who the first girl I kissed was? That was like maybe a month or two before. She's thinking, this is so great.
I'm thinking because I have photographs at a dance.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Who are you standing next to? No, I don't know. Who is it?
Suzanne Bessart. Does that name ring a bell?
Well, yeah, I talk to Suzanne all the time.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do.
So you've clearly stayed in touch with a gazillion people.
I have. Yeah, not a gazillion people,
I'm
but
cold.
Suzanne and I still stay in touch. LaForgia is her last name. She's having an awesome life. She's got a fantastic husband and a kid, and they're loving it. They're having a good time. And
I'm sure.
She's fun to follow on Facebook. I follow Cara Keel. Cara Keel Moody.
They showed up to the reunion. They were adorable.
Yeah,
they were super adorable.
Yeah. Jody Capril and I talk a good bit. Kyle Henderson and I talk a lot. He was the shoulder that I cried on when my mom was dying in the hospital. Kyle and I spent a lot of time talking to one another, and it was really nice. Mike Tooley and I saw each other a few weeks ago. I wanted to tell him some things that I remembered about his mom.
Yeah.
Haley Stevenson and I, we had a huge Mexican lunch or dinner one night with Mandy and Ashley and Lucia and Dana Wills and just friggin' everybody. It was fantastically awkward and funny as shit, and I left laughing hysterically.
See, I feel like I remember those people more from middle school even than from high school.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe that. I remember you more from middle school than high school because I was around you more in middle school than
right.
I was in high. Everything changed once we all got to high school. But
right.
Yeah, I remember being around you more. And a lot of the pictures that I have are eighth grade.
Right.
And I have them. I have these photographs.
You should have brought them.
Well, they're in a box somewhere. Well, they're in a box in my attic, and it's a matter of going through the box, but I've got pictures you wouldn't believe.
Let's talk about this because okay. I remember talking to Jody on Facebook mm-hmm. and saying something about like how awkward and horrible it was, and she was like, oh, that was, you know, for me, it was for everybody. And I was like, weren't you the homecoming queen? Like, and it was the first time I realized, like, we were all just in that. This was like,
yeah.
This was like 10 years after high school or whenever, like, whenever ago. And it was like, oh, because, like, you know, like it's a horrible time. Like, my
right.
kids are going to start going through it.
Right.
I'm not like, I know it's going to suck in
mm-hmm.
many ways.
Mm-hmm.
Your bodies are changing. You have no idea who you are, what the hell the world is.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
Right.
But Jody was different than a lot of the people she hung out with. She grew up differently.
Yeah.
She had a very, you know, single mom and lived in an apartment complex and a lot like me. And so that's why we bonded so well in like seventh grade because, like, you know, the popular girl that you know, has the same kind of life that I have. So
right.
we were really good friends growing up, which was great. And still are. We she's into photography and she's amazing. And she's making a living at it and really enjoying it. So that's kind of fun for me, you know.
Isn't she in Florida?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. She's near, I can't think of it right now. Sarasota. We were down there a few months ago. Or a few years ago and trying to get together. It didn't work out, but, you know, it was kind of, she's got a good life down there. She's having fun.
Yeah. How many kids does she have?
Two.
Okay.
Yeah. They're adorable. They're absolutely adorable. It's interesting hanging out with people that you were so different than in high school. And like you said, there's a lot of people I have no desire to hang out with that I talk to on Facebook. I'm not going to name names.
You can tell me afterwards.
Yeah, I'll tell you afterwards. But, you know, there's a lot of people who I'm feeling connected to for different reasons. I mean, you know, I don't know if you know, if you saw, but Paige DeVoe passed recently. And Paige had been, you know, I've been taking pictures since we were in sixth grade and I always had a camera in my hand and once we became Facebook friends, I couldn't post a photograph without Paige loving it or commenting on it or just supporting it. And that meant a lot to me. Somebody who I knew in high school, and not to say we didn't get along. She was always really kind, you know, and she dies so suddenly like that. And it was this, that's one of us, you know, like it hit me really hard. And, you know, I've been reaching out to the Wagners on occasion because I know how hard it hit them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's a tough thing to lose somebody that you went to high school with, whether you were close or not. It's just like you start feeling like I need to do some stuff, you know, because anything could happen anytime. And right now, one of the things I'm doing is I'm traveling like crazy. I'm staying in a national park every month and the ocean every month. You know, my life goals aren't what they should be, I suppose, work and that. It's, I'm going to have fun. I'm going to live this life. I'm living the hell out of it.
Well, it took me a bit, but like this is kind of what I was supposed to do the whole time, right?
Yeah.
Like what I'm doing right now, talking to you. It just took me a long time to... But then again, like it's exactly what it's supposed to be.
Yeah, it's more rewarding when it takes a long time. To me personally, I mean, I didn't find film and television until 2002. And that was right when I got into it. And then it wasn't big until 2009.
Right.
So I was
I want to get to all that. And I want to quickly talk about Paige, because Paige and I weren't best buddies. Mm-hmm. But when I did stand up in Monterey. I was visiting from LA, and either she saw it or I told her. I don't know how it happened, but she came to my show.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
Right? And then the next day was like, hey, I'm not around, but these friends of mine are going, you know, we actually went kayaking on the ocean, which
great.
It was, well, it wasn't for me. I got got seasick. It was not a pleasant experience
for me.
Yeah, I was like, this sucks. I'm getting the fuck out of here. But the point is that, so when I saw that, you know, that made me message the Wagners and message my Thule. And it's just like, I don't know about you, but for me, whether it's people we know or like celebrities or whatever, sometimes you do wake up and it's like, oh, so this is what getting older is like. Like somebody new is dead every week.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Doesn't it feel our class has lost a lot of people though?
It does. But I'm not sure if we've lost more than anybody else. We just know it because we're close to it. I mean,
but I feel like we lost a few, right after high school.
Nancy Johnson.
Oh my God, I forget his name. He was like, I wasn't a fan of his, so I wasn't happy he was dead, but it wasn't.
Right. Jonathan York.
Is he dead?
Jonathan York, I think, passed.
When?
Mike Wells.
When did Jonathan York pass?
I may be wrong about that, so Jesus, if I'm wrong.
Somebody message me if he is. God, no. He was kind of a dick, this kid. This is horrible to say.
Well, I mean, if you're a dick, you're a dick. You know, it doesn't change the fact that you're no longer
with
us. But
then he died at like 18.
You know? God, I don't know.
Come on, dude.
Greg Bishop? I mean, remember him? He died from huffing the friggin' spray paint in the pillowcases. I can't remember. I don't even know who you're thinking of, though.
It'll hit me later.
Was he with us
He was like a popular kid.
Oh, jeez. A popular kid died? And I can't remember his name?
and while we were in high school. Oh, that was the thing. David. David.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Right. Because I remember it was all this stuff like remembering David. And it was like at the time, I was like, well, fuck that kid. He was a jerk to me.
David Eldridge.
Is that his name?
Yeah, that was his name. Yeah, he died of cancer, if memory serves.
We're
it was
Googling
like
him
really,
now.
Yeah, it was
even
David
though
Eldridge.
He's probably not on the internet because it was before the internet.
I bet if you, I don't know. Yeah, I guess he wasn't on Facebook. Yeah, I took the pictures of the trees that were planted for him at Wheeler High School.
Are they still there?
Yeah, they're still there. Yeah, there's a whole section of them in the back. There's about, I wanted to say, last time I was there, there were 6 or 7 of them that were planted for people who passed. Which is nice. I like what Courtney did, what Courtney helped set up for Paige, because that was, you know, her passion of animals and stuff. I thought that was pretty amazing.
I'm sorry, I'm still Googling this.
No, you're fine.
It's nowhere on here because it was so long ago. And
yeah, it was David. That's definitely who you're thinking of.
Bummer.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was a bunch right away, I feel like.
Yeah, there were.
A couple great, even another kid, was it Bristow, David Bristow? He died in like...
Yep. That's
See,
correct.
That was all like within the first couple of years.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Oh, and Courtney Johnson.
I thought you said that one already.
No, not Nancy Johnson was the first one. Courtney Johnson also passed away.
She had like spina bifida or something?
She did. Yeah.
So if your name was Johnson and you were in the class of 1990, it was
that's
not
tough. I was in homeroom with all them like my whole life.
Right?
Like, wow. God, yeah. Yeah, it's definitely shit, man. I didn't realize that's a lot of people, huh?
Right. And I'm sure we're forgetting some.
I'm sure we are.
I hope, Jonathan York, if you're alive, call into the show right now.
Oh, I'm sorry, because I feel like a real dick.
Well, if this makes it around our class, and I hope it does, you guys can fill us in. You can message all the people who are dead and not dead.
Yeah, we're going to hear, if this makes it around our class, we both might hear a rash of shit from people.
Like, God, that was so insensitive of you.
Wow,
I was best friends with that guy.
Yeah, exactly. Or what do you mean you don't want to go out on a date with me to Top Gun again?
Well, listen, I'm just like, as the man in the situation, I would just like,
sure,
right?
look, man, there are plenty of girls I went and saw a movie with that in my head, I wish to God I was on a date with that chick and it didn't happen because that was a long time ago. But no, I know what you're saying.
Right?
I totally know what you're saying. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Did you express anything?
No. No, I had crushes like crazy, but no way. I would never have expressed anything to anyone.
All right. Well, before we find out about more about that, let's talk about, you want to know who my biggest crush was?
Yes, I do.
The entire time?
Yes, I do.
Well, I had two weird ones. Okay. By the way, if you were, I did not expect us to go this deep in the wormhole.
Well, this is fun.
No, it's awesome, but I don't care. Like that's what I've kind of learned about myself with this stuff. I just go where I go and sure. People don't like it, they can turn off.
Yeah, well.
So I asked Michelle Garbarino out like three different times.
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know that there is a pain like a, by the way, do you remember this? Will you go with me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know what the kids say now.
I don't have any
The nerve it took me to be on the phone and sit there and sweat and sweat and sweat and then finally say it.
Yeah.
Right. Will you go with me? And then the answer she gave, God bless her, at her 12-year-old self was, I don't know. Right. Afraid to say no answer.
Yeah.
But to me at the time, it was like worse. Right. And like, you know, as an adult person, I would say, well, that's clearly a no and I can get on with my life, but I couldn't. And I think either a year later or 2 years later, I asked again and I got the same answer and I was devastated. But the person I had the crush on, like a legit, like would never tell, but had a crush on because I thought she was out of my league was, oh my God, now I can't think of her name. And she was at the reunion and I think I told her, even though you shouldn't do that, I think I told her because I couldn't help it.
Right.
She's really tall. I can't think of her name now. Isn't that hilarious? Someone that I had
She's
the biggest
really tall.
Crush on.
Keila Sansom?
Keila's a knockout. But yeah. Keila was hilarious.
She was awesome to every... Lauren Verdery?
Yes, Lauren Verdery.
Who didn't have a crush on Lauren Verdery? Look, listen. Lauren, if you're listening right now, and I know
tall,
you probably
smart,
are...
Tall, had it going on.
And was nice to everyone. Lauren, you're a real, true... Yeah, we all dug you a whole lot and still do. I follow you. We're friends on Facebook that's been a good life too. Her brother and I actually worked together. Rob and I worked together in film on occasion.
So I did talk to Rob a little bit because he was friends with Steve Taraski, who was my best bud for a long time.
Nice.
And Steve and I talk like on the regular. He lives in Tennessee. We've hung out. We've gone on a couple of road trips together.
Right.
But she was my like would never say anything to.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like Keila was like she was like. Obviously pretty. It's like, of course you're not going to ask her out, right? Right. Like, of course not. But she was like, you know, it's funny because, you know, guys that figure it out sooner, like there were guys like famous comedians or whoever that realized like that funny could be their in. Mm-hmm. And so I was hilarious.
Yeah.
But like to say I had no self-confidence would be an understatement.
Sure.
I mean, negative self-confidence.
I'm down with that.
Right?
I was right there with you, my friend. Right there with you. It was painful much self-confidence I didn't have.
Right. Yeah. So it's not like, hey, I'm going to use this as my game. It was like fucking terrified of my own shadow, bro. Right. I don't even know how I ended up on a date with Suzanne or...
I think it's fantastic that you did.
Right. But I want to talk about, what's the word, tortured young Paige.
Oh, it fucking sucked.
Tortured young in the closet page.
It sucked. Yeah, let me just paint a picture for you here, Matt. Let's see here. It's the 1980s and your
hair is big.
Your hair is gigantic and you're poor and you come from a single family. Oh, and you're gay. That was a lot of fun.
Right.
The cool thing about that though is that none of the women ever made me feel like that.
Right.
It was three of the guys.
Can we name them?
I thought about that coming into this, and I'm not going to.
Okay.
And the reason is because I was told recently that two of them would be mortified to know that they basically ruined my high school experience.
Okay.
And they both have daughters.
Wow.
So I kind of feel like one day I can have the conversation of them with... Let me talk to you about what you did to me as a child. And I know that we all change, and I know that we're who we were when we were kids and we're who we are now. And that's,
right.
God, help us all, completely different.
Right.
But one of them is no longer alive. So Mike Wells was one of the guys. And,
okay.
And he was just, he was awful to me. And there were moments where I never really fit in with anyone. Never. no matter who it was.
But you know what's interesting?
But I always had a camera in my hand.
But you know what's interesting?
What's that?
I don't think it ever occurred to me. There was one girl that was like, oh, she's clearly a lesbian.
Sure.
You know who that was?
Dale McCrory?
Right.
Right. Because everybody, because Dale, I knew Dale from first grade. Dale was never afraid and never ashamed of who she was ever from first grade. That was what, 1980?
Well, I remember, oh my God,
78.
You're
making, I'm gonna
cry now. This is super weird. I did not like expect this, but like, oh my God, this is like, you're like knocking, oh man.
Matt's eyes are tearing up for the record because you guys can't see what's happening right now.
Because I think I was mean to her. I think I definitely made a joke about her like playing football with us. And she said, like, she stood up for herself in the moment. And I think since then, like, we've even talked on Facebook, but I don't think I've ever like acknowledged it or said sorry. And like you saying that thing about having daughters, like, oh, you're killing me.
Yeah, it happens. I mean, I'm telling you.
But I don't ever think I ever was like, well, Paige is clearly a dyke. Like, I don't, honestly.
No one ever really made me
That is so unexpected, dude.
I believe that, you know, that's a big thing when you kind of realize you're like, oh my God, I was a real dick to somebody a long time ago for no reason.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, Sharon Cooper is a great example of someone who just got beat up for no fucking reason.
I don't remember who that was.
She was a year younger than us, and her sister was 2 years younger than us, Melissa. And Sharon dated Brian Pear. And that girl got a rash of shit from a whole bunch of mean girls in our class. I mean,
because they didn't like it because she dated this quarterback guy?
Brutal shit. I'll never forget walking up to Sharon Cooper in Piedmont Park, Terrell Mill Park, and basically apologizing to her and being like, you are being set up. We were young. Like, I couldn't believe I was standing up for this.
Right.
And Sharon died recently, a couple years ago. And I've thought about reaching out to her sister, Melissa. And actually, I did write a letter. I just never sent it. But it's one of those things where, like I said, you get older and all of a sudden you start thinking about a lot of the things you did when you were young. Not that you regret, because, again, we're who we are when we're kids. You can't change that. But you know, it's okay to make apologies years later.
Well, even just hearing you say the 80s, because like in my mind, it's like, oh yeah, we graduated in 90,
I did it all the time.
But when you say the 80s, it's like, no, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, it was a very long time ago.
Like whenever they show 80s movies or music, whatever, you're like, oh my God, that was so effing long ago.
You know, I mean, yeah.
All right, so did you have any, I'm trying to think, like, did you have any, like, role models? Like, was anybody out at that time?
I had several role models. One of the first ones that I found was she was in high school when my sister was a few years older than me. She graduated in 87 than us. And Linda Hamilton, I don't know if you remember her, was a soccer player, basketball player, track. She did everything. She, as a matter of fact, she was in the Olympics for soccer.
I know Linda Hamilton from The Terminator.
Right. Would be badass if it was the same person. But
it's
not. No. And the other Linda Hamilton was actually more of a badass in my eyes than the Terminator one. So she, Teresa Garnett, these were all older people. Kathy Gonzalez, they called her Boo. These weren't lesbians per se. Linda was. But Linda was not out in high school. And as a matter of fact, Linda was really cruel to some of the people who were out in high school, telling me, don't hang out with these people. This person's a dyke and whatnot. And I don't forget stuff. And those are things I think about being older and seeing younger kids who are going through nothing like what I went through as a lesbian in the 70s and 80s. I mean, we were in Cobb County, and they didn't want the Olympics in Cobb County because they didn't want lesbians playing volleyball at the Civic Center where we graduated from high school.
Oh.
Give me a fucking break.
My God.
Yeah. Yeah, it was Newt Gingrich, and Gordon Wysong was the commissioner at the time, and his daughter ended up being gay. I mean, it's like,
that's usually what happens.
What planet
though.
Did we live on? You know, and but,
seems interesting they would choose the volleyball because the volleyball girls are really attractive. Usually, it's attractive lesbians are usually what straight men like.
You would think. Yeah, I mean, whether they're gay or not, they're going to bring in a crowd. I mean, come on, people want to look at that, right? But you know, it was hard growing up in East Cobb County, and being gay, without a doubt. But I'm sure it was hard in a lot of places. And I wouldn't change it because I'm really okay with who I am now. And every single bit of that bullshit that we all went through when we were younger made us who we are now.
Right.
And I'm solid with that.
Right.
There are some people, like I said, if I saw them, I would take them aside and say, you know, you were a fucking asshole. And here are the reasons. And I really hope you're better than that now. And maybe they are. Maybe they're not. I'm not going to hang out with them. I'm going to sleep fine tonight.
Right.
But yeah, There were no women that I hung out with that ever made fun of me. And I was friends with the popular girls. Again, I had a camera.
Right.
Everywhere I went, I had a camera in my hand. And if you're popular, you want to be around the person who has a camera in their hand, because most likely you're going to be in the newspaper and in the yearbook.
Right.
Sure shit, that happened like crazy.
Right.
Did it have anything to do with it? I don't know. But they were all pretty legit and sincere, so.
Right.
You know.
All
it's kind of nice to not have to have dealt with mean girls when you were young, you know?
Well, interesting. For me, it was my own friends. Well, first of all, like, you know, there's a lot of shit that you just do, right? Like guys do growing up, and a lot of that's fine. But I remember distinctly, like, so Shan Helton, who I think I talked to years later, I can't remember. But like, so in my, they were all in my neighborhood, and we walked to school together, mm-hmm. and they like made fun of my shoes. Like my mom bought me shoes at Kmart, because that's what where she shopped for shoes.
Right.
And, you know, that was my introduction to like the whole East Cobb snob thing. And it like, it fucked me up.
Of course it did.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
they were mean.
Yes. But I did get to get back at Shan. I do remember in, I think it was ninth grade, we're in English class, and he said something. He made like a Jew comment. That was another one, right?
Oh, God.
Like the big Jew thing. And he made a comment in class, and no one was, for whatever reason, the teacher wasn't around. And so like 3 or 4 years had built up, and I walked over and punched him in the head. Oh. And it was like, that was, he had a long time coming. You know what I mean? It was like, but I think I've seen him since then. I honestly can't remember.
That's great.
But then I had this weird thing where, you know, these like boys that were my boys, mm-hmm. and then in high school kind of started going the other way. Mm-hmm. It really devastated me.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize it until later when I talked to them. And it's funny because Brett specifically, like, I needed to like say that to him. Like, you were like this, like the big brother I never had. And when I told him that, he was so glad I told him that. And then he told me how it had happened to him. He's like, oh, well, I was friends with, oh man, who is that guy? Like, really good looking soccer player guy. Doesn't matter. But there were a couple guys that like did that to him and just talked about like how fucked up we all are and how that makes you. And it like now we're like, we've been talking and it's kind of like we never missed a beat, even though we clearly have, but we like die laughing. Like
Absolutely.
He's the biggest fan of this podcast.
I love that.
Like he messages me all the time and it's now I'm going to cry again.
See, I love that because we are still able to stay connected with people. And like you said, you don't want to hang out with everybody, but you know, for the 30 people that you talk to, there might be one that you're like, I really want to go out and have a drink with this person and talk because they're kind of who they were when they were in school, who I liked then. So, you know, maybe we don't change that much, but you know, again, hopefully some people have, cause wow. Yeah. It was tough. Yeah. There were a lot of nights going home and just being like, yeah, it was hard. God damn, it was hard.
So, all right, so we get to college, mm-hmm. right? And or the Navy for you, and then you come back mm-hmm. and you go to Athens mm-hmm. and you're at Mellow Mushroom.
Before Mellow Mushroom, I was at Dial America, where everybody had to work at least for 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Tell people what Dial America is. Yeah.
Oh, it was a telemarketing agency. We sold magazine subscriptions for the Special Olympics.
Right.
Oh, yeah. And they were, holy shit, what a job that was. Wow.
So just paint the boiler room picture of 19, you know, 91, 92, whenever that was.
I was a supervisor at Dial America and met a girl, and all of a sudden all the bells and whistles went off and I realized that I was gay.
Oh,
that was
good.
Basically the beginning of all that. If I didn't realize I was gay while showering with 79 naked women in the Navy, which by the way, you don't really notice that kind of thing when you're in basic training and getting your ass kicked. So it wasn't until I came out of the Navy that I'm like, I am definitely gay. And I didn't move to Athens immediately. I stayed in Roswell for a few months trying to figure out what my next move was. And Athens seemed like the safest place for me within driving distance of home.
Right.
So, yeah, it was Athens. And I was there until 97. So I was there for quite a while.
But you got to tell people like what Dial America was.
It was a mansion that sat on Research Drive. And the fact that I can remember that scares me. And it was... 1,000 college students at Cubbies on phones calling people and trying to sell you subscriptions.
Right.
And that was Dial America.
Do you think they actually, they did sell them the subscriptions though, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't just like a big
hustle.
Yeah,
no, it was legit, but it looked like the weirdest, I mean, it was a mansion that sat on this road and it all was all by itself and there were so many people that worked in there and it seemed like are there really this many magazine subscriptions to sell people? You had to wonder after a certain point.
Well, do you want to know something crazy? You just reminded me. So my friends, like I said, were always in bands.
Right.
And and so I was always, we were always either going to their shows or going to concerts. Like that's what we did.
Right.
And like, so I knew from jump, there was no way I could work for the man. Like I knew that, but I didn't know what else was there. The idea for me of being a comic or being on TV was such a dream, like a beyond a dream, mm-hmm. that I couldn't even dream it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I distinctly do remember I looked at an ad once. It was probably in, it could have been the Atlanta Journal. It could have been whatever the Athens paper was, but it was like looking for
Athens Banner Herald.
Maybe. Like, I don't remember, but it was like, you know, looking for voiceover, like right. You want to do voiceover work or mm-hmm. do you want to do hosting or whatever? And I was like, okay, my friends are in bands. I can probably record a thing they want in audition. So I go and I meet the lady and she's like, yeah, just go make a tape. Just go read a few ads. Just get out a magazine, read a few ads and turn that into me and then we'll see. And I went to Athens to hang out with those guys. And I distinctly remember like going into a little like booth they had and I did it, but like I never even like turned it in because I couldn't, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like whatever part of me like sabotaged mm-hmm. that because I just couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. So I fucking knew what I wanted to do.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
I knew I didn't want some
God
job.
No. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And I knew that I wanted to like do something like this, but I just couldn't. It was like I said, it was just too big of a fucking dream for me to get my brain around.
Sure, maybe this is gonna work. Yeah, it's like, oh God, if I turn this in, this might be a thing. And yeah,
well, right. Or let me just go get drunk
instead because it's easier and it's right down the street and it's Nickel Night at Lowry's, bitches.
Nickel Night at Lowry's. You asked me what I did in Athens. That's what I was
Nickel
saying,
night
and then
at
you, and then I forgot what I was gonna say. That is what I did.
Yeah,
Nickel Night at Lowry's.
Well, yeah, why not?
Is Lowry still there?
I have no idea.
Is there still a Nickel Night? If you are listening to this program.
No way.
Oh, like legally you couldn't do it anymore?
Like, there's no way beer only costs a nickel anywhere, right?
I guess. Quarter night Lowry's? All right. So you see this girl. Your eyes lock. You're like, hey, right?
Sort of. She bought me a Dr. Pepper and realized that that was my drink. And so I as an idiot, 19-year-old idiot, I was like, oh, this girl might be interested in me. And we dated for a very long time.
Were you secret?
No. Were we secret? No. No. But we didn't walk around town holding hands and stuff because it was still the 90s, you know, that wasn't. Were there gay bars? Like I'm like,
I feel like early 90s, like AIDS was still scary to
it
us.
It was terrifying. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was right? The late 80s is when all that started, like 85 when the band played on. So,
right.
Yeah, no, it was still scary. And I didn't know much about, I know this sounds funny, I didn't know much about being gay. It's not like you grow up seeing movies where with lesbians, you know, you're
right.
Not like, how am I supposed to be? Is this supposed to be? So I pretty much just did what I knew, and what I knew happened to be Southern gentlemen, because that's, I'm Southern, and that's how I was raised, right? So that's kind of how the relationship started, me, you know, walking her to her car.
Aww.
And dumb shit like that, right?
Right.
So
that's great.
Yeah, well, it was great. She was a wonderful first girlfriend. I've had many since then, but yeah, Athens was a lot of fun, you know, and that was cool because she was a lot older than me, and there was a lot of life that had been lived in the gay world that I had no idea about. And she was able to be like, oh, this has been going on for years and this and this and this. And I'm like, oh my God, there's a community. This is, there are people who, this is a thing, you know? So it was fantastic. I was really glad that my first girlfriend, and actually we did have a commitment ceremony at one point, that she was somebody who knew what the fuck was going on in the gay lifestyle.
Because right.
It could have been a train wreck. 2 19-year-olds just bouncing off each other like, I don't know what to do.
Right.
Yeah, it wasn't like that.
So when did you leave Athens?
I left Athens in 97 and moved to Chicago.
And what was there?
My father, my two younger sisters, and if memory serves, my older sister was there. Yes, my older sister was there as well. So everybody. And what was not there was Marietta, Georgia.
Just anywhere, but
anywhere that wasn't Marietta, Georgia. Get me the fuck out of this cub.
I had the same experience.
Miserable.
I had the same experience.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe there were people that, like, I remember we had neighbors and like they had like their kids went to college and then they came back and like bought the house like across the street. And I was like, what the, why would you possibly be here?
Yeah. Me too. I was like,
there's a whole world to see.
And that's how I felt when I got to Chicago. I'm standing on in Belmont Harbor staring at Lake Michigan like, what do you mean this is a lake? You know, I can't see the other side of it. How is this not the ocean? Dude, and ships sailing by me, and I'm just like, holy shit.
I moved to Boston in 96.
Oh, nice. Oh, there you go.
Right?
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, an actual Irish person, an actual Asian person. I'm not kidding.
No, I hear you.
Because yeah. where we grew yeah. up was mm-hmm. white guys in khakis,
yep.
right? East Cobb, yeah. like 10% black, maybe.
Oh, that's a stretch, I think.
And then you go to Athens, and it's more of the same.
Way more.
Everybody
the
from the same yep. kind of suburbs just moved north to party,
yep.
right? And I was like, oh, like here's like actual people
yeah.
who did not grow up upper middle class.
I tell people, I swear to God, I felt like the emperor in the movie The Last Emperor when all of a sudden he leaves the Forbidden City and
right.
he's like, holy shit. Like there was this literal world outside, and Chicago was a great move for somebody from Marietta, Georgia. Just like, screw Atlanta, I'm going right to this city.
Right.
That's real city living. You know, that's like not even Atlanta now is nothing compared to Chicago. Chicago is, they live for that.
Right.
And it was cool. I was riding subways and taking buses to bars and stuff I never would have done if I'd lived here, if I'd stayed here.
Right. And so what were you doing for work?
What was I doing for work? I started off working for a guy at, I started off working for a guy at Northwestern Mutual.
Okay.
Met a girl and, we moved down here together after a few years. So yeah, I was working there and working for my stepmother who owned a couple of gas stations. Not really doing much that I wanted to be doing. And I knew that it was time to leave Chicago and come back south because Athens after a couple years of Chicago with a, you know, new girl.
Right.
Sounded kind of fun.
Right.
And it was for a couple years. And then it wasn't. And then life changed. And then a few years after we broke up, I found film and television.
All right. So let's talk about that. Let me
yeah.
turn this off because my reminders keep going off randomly.
Important reminders?
No, not important reminders. Actually, reminders that my wife is putting in, actually.
Nice. Those are important reminders then for the record, right?
Well, like I do some business stuff mm-hmm. and then stuff that's like pretty much everything she puts in is goes on both. And okay. so sometimes my phone will just start going off like crazy.
Oh, nice.
Anyhow, please proceed.
Yeah. Film. I came home and, 9/11, I was working for a film editing place and 9/11 happened and everything changed. This was a place where, the kind of place that edits photographs for sporting events or like Terramil Sports softball pictures, that kind of stuff.
Right.
So people stopped buying those things because people weren't spending as much money. So I lost my job and the girlfriend who I brought down from Chicago and had no idea what to do and saw a commercial for AIU, American Intercontinental University, down in Buckhead. I was like, ooh, those are video cameras. Ooh, that looks fancy. So I took out a loan. I think it was my left arm and a lung.
Right.
And went to school down there. And within a few weeks of being down there, my aunt reached out to me and said, I have a friend who's doing a documentary and he needs a production assistant. I was like, I don't know what that is, but great.
Right.
I was hired to clean the house, the production house where we were filming this documentary. And the director of photography walked in and I was cleaning the toilet. And I was smiling. And he asked me why I was smiling. And I said, he goes, why are you smiling? You're cleaning a toilet. And I said, but we're about to make a movie.
Right.
And he rolled his eyes and he said, come here. And he walked me over to the corner and he picked up a C-stand and he put it in my hand. And
right.
he said, you're a grip now. And I said, that's great. What the
this
fuck
is such
is a
great,
grip?
This is such a great story. This legit happened?
This legit happened. And I love telling this story. And any podcast I do, any panel I do, anything I do, I love telling this story because I legitimately was scrubbing a fucking toilet. And then I became a grip.
That's fucking so cool.
I was happy about what I was doing. When I saw Star Wars in 77 at Lenox, I looked at my mother, and I will never forget this. I looked at my mother and said, I want to do that. I'm still in Atlanta, Georgia, and I'm doing that, and I never had to go to LA.
Right.
That's a fucking win.
Well, but I'm trying to like explain to people that don't know Atlanta now,
mm-hmm.
because even when I came back 10 years ago,
right.
we were just starting to
just
kind
starting. Of. 2009.
And I said to anyone who would listen, yeah, whatever. It's going to be just like Seattle or Austin or Toronto or any of the cities that get to flirt with film, like, sure, it'll be out of here.
Sure.
And I was wrong.
Everybody said that.
And I was wrong.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is?
Why were you wrong, or why did everybody say that?
No, I know why everyone said it. Why was I wrong? Why did Hollywood come here to stay?
The tax incentive?
Yeah, but all those cities got tax incentives.
The weather, the people. I honestly can't tell you that because, well, I can tell you my opinions, but I can also tell you that in 2009 in April, I was standing on a set, and we were out in the middle of nowhere, Georgia, and it was nighttime, and we were shooting a huge fucking scene in a field, and the movie was H2, Halloween 2, and the director was Rob Zombie, and the entire crew and cast was complaining, almost the entire crew, except for the locals, was complaining because it had started to snow. And we were doing a scene that was supposed to take place in the summertime where Michael Myers is in a cabin and there's helicopters and it is legitimately snowing. And they were like, what in the fuck is going on? This is ridiculous. And we're all like, this is weather, you guys. You don't have this in LA. This is actually weather. And it was hilarious to us because it poured down rain. I mean, it was a nightmare of a shoot. I didn't know any better because that was my first feature.
So right. I'm so like, this is fun.
This is great.
Right.
So at the beginning, it certainly couldn't have been weather because everybody hated that. It also couldn't have been the crews at the beginning because
nobody was experienced.
Our entire electric crew got fired. The new gaffer came in and was like, you know, no one knows what they're doing here. And we're all kind of defensive. Like, dude, we just started doing this.
Right.
You know, we've all been doing independence and this and this and this.
Right.
So we were getting a bad rap. People started coming in from out of town. But, you know, I guess I'd love to say Southern hospitality. I really would. And 10 years ago, that legitimately could have been the answer.
Right.
Sure as hell isn't the answer today.
Well, now we're legit.
You know, well, there's no Southern hospitality. You can't even afford to shoot in Atlanta anymore. If you're an independent film and you want to shoot someplace, Marvel has jacked the price up so much for locations that we're all just spinning our wheels trying to figure out what to do next.
Yeah, but I would figure that places would try that, right?
Right.
And then just like, look, we're not Marvel.
They don't.
And there isn't a Marvel movie every month, so right, you should probably lower your rate a little bit.
There
no?
There might not be a Marvel movie again.
Right.
For Atlanta.
Well, we also know, but I think the window's finally closing too, right?
Yeah, as far as Marvel coming back or
as far as Hollywood only giving a fuck about the Marvel universe.
Yeah, yeah.
As far as production in general being like, okay, well, let's just make these things for the next. I mean, don't you feel like that window's closing?
I hope so, a little bit. I mean, we'll see. Marvel brought a lot of jobs here, but with it brought a lot of people who aren't experienced. A lot of people who were hanging out at the Earl having drinks with, you know, this whole crew who works on a Marvel show and is like, hey, man, you're cool. You know how to work on, you know, cars and you seem handy. And why don't you come be a grip?
Right.
Well, I don't know about you, but I don't want that guy hanging tens of thousands of pounds of aluminum rigging stuff above my head if he's never done this in his life.
Right.
And when I joined, the union was about 927 people, and we're at 6,000 now.
Wow.
Just our local.
Wow.
It's unbelievable. It's also really frustrating. It's hard to get work. So that's the turn I've taken lately.
But I feel like hard work, cream always rises to the top.
No, that's not true. Sure would be awesome if that was true. It would be fucking awesome if that was true. But it's not. Not in this industry. Not always. There's a lot of people that are working that a lot of people turn around and say, how in the fuck is that person working?
Dude, of course there's people. Dude, there's comics, actors, bakers, whoever.
Sure.
People that aren't the best at what they do. But I'm saying, like, let's take this for example, right? Why would when someone's like, oh, I don't want to start a podcast because there's too many podcasts. It's like, okay, well then why would anyone ever pick up a guitar again?
Why would anyone ever
write a script again?
That's
because
fair.
it's all been done before. It's all whatever. So it's like, I feel like for me, I have to go at it like, all right, I'm going to do the best I can do.
Yeah.
Crank away at it. And I do feel like hard work and the cream rises to the top.
Well, it depends on what the top is. I mean, to you. For me, lately, the top has become change and has become independence, commercials, me keying.
Did you get fired off a big feature or something?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not a big feature. But I got let go of from a crew. Yeah, I sure did.
Okay,
that
so
I've been
can we
with
talk
for
about
7 years? So, we can talk a little bit about it.
Okay,
yeah.
I mean, you don't have to name names if you don't want to.
Well, it's okay. Everyone who you know knows me knows the names, and I won't name names. But yeah, I'd been on a crew for a long time, 7 years. Done some amazing projects, learned some incredible things, had opportunities I never would have had before, and I got older, you know, and I got tired of comments being made, inappropriate comments in my ear, not necessarily directed at me. You know, a good-looking girl walks by, and there's 5 minutes of, let me talk about how great her ass looks. And how
right.
great, you know, that gets really old. It gets really old. And when you open your mouth about it, sometimes people don't appreciate that you've opened your mouth about it. And I did, and I lost my job. Plain and simple.
So you came to your boss, your immediate supervisor.
My boss.
Said, hey, it's 2018 and not really cool to talk about a chick's ass on fucking the radio for whatever. And the response was like, thanks, but no thanks to you.
It was 2015.
Okay.
So none of the Me Too and then none of that had happened yet.
Right.
And it was, I'm becoming uncomfortable with the conversations on the radio. And the first comment was, it's my crew. I'll run it the way I want to.
Mm-hmm.
So that put things into perspective for me a little bit.
Right.
And then my attitude started changing about things. I stopped being as fun
right.
to work with was the word. What happened to fun page?
Right.
Like, well, fun page isn't 30 anymore.
Right.
You know, I'm getting older and I've got a niece and I'm not okay with these conversations being made.
Right.
And so my attitude became an issue and the way I was handling things became an issue and I got let go.
So to help people who aren't in the industry understand, when you say a crew, who is somebody's getting a call to
yes.
work on a project
yes.
and they always bring you and X amount of people?
Basically, once I work for the camera department, I'm a grip. So grip, electric, camera run together, and our boss is the director of photography. So a director of photography gets hired, typically has his camera people, has his gaffer, who's the head of the electric department,
right.
and has his key grip, who's the head of the grip department.
Right.
So yes, the key grip is the person who is in charge of the grip department. So the person I'm referring to was my key grip.
Got it.
Yeah.
And so this was 2015?
This was 2015. It was.
It seems so recent, but yeah, I think things have changed in a very short time, haven't
they? They have, but it's become really interesting in departments like grip and electric. And I can only speak for those two because
just because they're mostly male dominated.
They're mostly male dominated. And the problem, it's great to say Me Too and you know, the Me Too movement's here and we want change and we want more women involved. But if you have a crew of nothing but men and you know, grips and electrics, we're crusty. We have a tendency to say things that we shouldn't always say.
Right.
That has changed for me because I'm now a key. So I run a crew.
Right.
And I need to be respectful to them. And I want them to be the same way to me and everyone they work with because that's my personal preference. But you have, you know, your key grip and your best boy. And then you have other grips.
And tell people what those roles are.
Key grip is the head of the grip department. The best boy, or now, as I refer to myself, is best girl. There's jokes in there, but it's time to change the title. Sometimes.
I would think that, again, that Hollywood would have already changed that one.
Well, I had a first assistant director try and change it on me years ago, and he put best girl grip, and I lost it on him, like in a fun way, chasing him all over set, like, you're setting the women's movement back 100 years. I don't need my own title.
And, right.
But that's how I felt then.
Right. But you also need to tell people what those roles do.
As far as
what a grip does, what a best boy does.
A grip is a lighting technician
right.
and also camera movement. An electrician brings the sun and the grips bring the clouds. That's kind of the best, you know, layman's terms. We're also, if a camera's moving on a dolly or a zip line between buildings, whatever the case is, grips are involved with that.
Got it.
So the key grip is in charge. The best is the second in charge, basically the manager. Hiring and firing. Gear, making sure everything is ready to go for the next day, for the next set, for the next scene, whatever you need.
Right.
That's the person who needs to be three steps ahead.
Got it. So I have this great story of my first day ever on a set, which was this, which I can tell you offline because I've already told it on the show and I think twice now about being on a Dixie Chicks shoot.
Okay.
A music video. Mm-hmm. But I remember having that smile as a PA and thinking... and I don't even remember what it was because I worked on a bunch of different things, big and small. But I think I just distinctly remember, like, isn't this really cool that all these really super talented people are doing this thing together to make this cool thing, right? It wasn't about, certainly wasn't about the actors necessarily. Right. They bring what they bring. Right. But it was about, you know, a room is empty. It gets filled with stuff. Mm-hmm. We create this thing and then it all gets taken away. And I remember thinking like, this is pretty cool. Like,
yeah. It's super cool.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, and I kind of like production. So right. I later volunteered, and we can talk more about it later, but I volunteered in places where basically not movie sets, but event sets.
Right.
Right. So, you know, a much more scaled down of a movie, but moving parts and people and things to make something cool happen. And I like that stuff a lot. And so, I just sort of have a fondness for it. You know what I mean? I probably totally wouldn't be a PA today. Like, actually, these guys and I are talking about it. I'm like, listen, if you're ever short like a boom guy, like, I'll do that, because they were talking about it, because right. I've done that, right?
Sure.
So yeah, I think I'm fascinated by the process.
It's an incredible process. It's even cooler when it's an independent, because everyone is collaborating
right.
together, as
right.
opposed to, not to say that the union stuff's not cool. It has its own, you know, fantasticness. But you're only focusing on your department. You do not focus on any other department. And it's
because they're so massive.
Oh yeah, they're massive. They can be. They can be ridiculously massive, depending on the show. Yeah. But I like I like the smaller things right now, because I am doing a little bit of producing and I'm learning the bigger picture more than I did before. I think I always had a more healthy understanding of the bigger picture than a lot of my counterparts, just because I was curious about all of it. But I mean, I spent a summer picking up trash in locations just to see how brutal that department was.
Location?
Oh my God. There's not a harder job, as far as I'm concerned, in the film business than locations.
Because?
It's brutal. They get blamed for every single thing, whether it's their fault or not. Things that change usually have nothing to do with them. It has to do with a location issue that someone has all of a sudden decided is a problem. Now we're moving the entire crew from this side of campus to this side of campus because there's a class in this room that you just,
right.
weird things like that.
Right.
To the first ones on set, the last ones to leave, responsible for picking up everyone's trash. And the shitty thing about that is, back in the day when we were all from here, we all had a lot more respect for the locations. So we weren't beating places up. Now I go on sets and there's trash everywhere.
Really?
I'm like, you know, I used to be able to say, this is our home, let's respect it. But now, you know, people aren't from here and they don't care so much.
Really?
Yeah. It's hard. Locations has to pick all that up and clean up these messes. And it's a lot to clean up.
If you were going to say... I love to ask you, like, your favorite really big project you worked on and your favorite, like, cool, smaller thing that you've worked on.
My favorite big project I've worked on, there were two separate ones. One, just simply because it was the number one movie in the world at the time, and that's just cool as shit.
Was it Avatar?
That. It was Hunger Games. It was Hunger Games Catching Fire. But my best experience, the one that... had my career ended after this, and it almost did, I would have been okay. Selma was, there were so many amazing connections to me, my family, my friends' families about that movie. And the fact that I got to work with Ava DuVernay and Brad Young, and who's one of the most amazing DPs I've ever met. And the fact that we stood on that bridge and told a story about history, a history that never should have happened. Mm. And we told it really, really well. I got to meet Martin Sheen, which that was a lifetime dream. I lost my shit there's a photograph of me bawling like a child 2 seconds after he walked away from me. Just like, that's it for me. I'm good. I can walk away now. Hugging Giovanni Ribisi because I thought I knew him. And then 10 minutes into our conversation, laughing at him and going, I literally thought I knew you and I don't know you. We're not friends. And he just started laughing. He's like, well, we are now. I mean, just like normal shit.
I'm going to tell you two stories that I think you'll appreciate.
Okay.
So George Carlin did a book reading and a signing in LA, mm-hmm. and I shook his hand and he was genuinely nice to me. And I said, thank you for inspiring me to do stand-up comedy. And he said, you're welcome. And was genuinely, even though people tell him that every day, his whole life.
Right.
And I said, that's it for me. I can die now.
Yep.
I said, maybe Paul McCartney, but this is pretty much it.
Yeah.
Like that exact feeling. And I haven't heard anyone express that feeling.
Yeah.
So this is so cool, dude.
It was clearly,
well, just the next thing I'm going to tell you, I'm going to fucking cry again. Paige, I don't know what is going on with you, but something cosmic is happening because I'm going to fucking cry again.
Okay.
So when my daughter was born, okay, May of 2007, I was in Cedars-Sinai, and, you know, wife's waiting and whatever and walking back and forth, and you go to the car, you go to get food, and, like, there's Giovanna Ribisi. And I'm like, oh, guess his wife is having a kid. He had a camera actually on him, and I didn't stop to say hi, which, like, in Hollywood, you kind of see people constantly, so you try not to fanboy too much, but I'm still the kind of person that if I think you're interesting, I might just say hi, but I didn't. And so my wife gives birth, and, you know, this is like a few hours later, and I'm in the little room. When your baby gets born, like, shortly after it's born, you, like, they take it away because they want to make sure everything's cool with it, and they bring it to this little room, and you go in the little room, and I'm in this little room, like, with my kid, and, like, a foot away from me is Beck with his baby, who was born clearly at the same, like, almost exact same time, right? Beck was married to Giovanna Ribisi's sister, right? So, like, anytime I hear Beck, I'm like, I think about that and, like, his connection. I'm like, and now that I do this, like, I really want to meet him and tell him that story that our kids are, like, an hour apart because it's so fucking cool.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, that's
right?
Cool.
Right? Yeah. So anyway, that's just like, and when I see him, I think of the same thing, even though I never said
hi to
him.
That's amazing.
I know, right?
Yeah, and he's super nice.
I want to hear why you cried when you saw Martin Sheen.
Why did I cry when I saw Martin Sheen? The West Wing. I'm an Aaron Sorkin fan.
Right.
That's an understatement. I'm an Aaron Sorkin super freak fan.
Right.
And the West Wing was kind of a safe place for me to watch something that was okay in the world and made me feel good about myself. And watching Martin Sheen for 8 years was, I grew up, you know, watching Martin Sheen like that. One of the first films I ever remember seeing that I didn't understand, but that really affected me was Apocalypse Now. And it was the opening scene that he was legitimately fucked up on. And they just started letting the camera roll and look what he did.
Right.
So those were that was my love of him. When I turned around and he was standing behind me, I turned my body and he was on a sidewalk and he lit up and he smiled and he said, "Hi, I'm Martin." As if I just, what the fuck? Like, this is my life now? Like, Martin Sheen is talking to me, having a conversation with me, and I am shaking. And it was more than I could handle. It was it wasn't seeing Oprah. It wasn't seeing Betty White or Robin Williams or, again, all these amazing people, but Martin Sheen just affected me to my core. And the next day, my best friend sent me a photograph of she and Martin. And I said, what's going on? And she said, he's walking down the street. I ran into him. He said, yeah, I'm here shooting a movie. And I said to him, my best friend is on that. She's the best boy. And Martin said, the one with the cowboy hat, because I always wear a cowboy hat when I work.
Right.
And so Martin Sheen remembered me. And yeah, it was a pretty, pretty powerful moment.
That's super rad, dude.
My favorite picture of me on set is a photograph of he and I. And we talked about a movie that he did called The Passage, a movie he did with his son Emilio about the St. James Way in Spain, which is a spiritual trek. And I'm not a religious person, but I certainly want to do this walk after having a conversation with him. And it turns out my little sister lives 30 minutes from it. The beginning of it, a lot of stuff comes together, you know, and it's like, wow, this is the universe's way of saying, you know, yeah, keep doing what you're doing,
dude. That's so awesome.
It's pretty fucking cool. Yeah, it's been a great ride. I'm like I said, doing new things now, doing independent stuff and doing some producing, which is opening my eyes to a whole bunch of new things, sitting on panels, teaching people, really enjoying it all. But to go back to the other question you asked, my favorite small project, it was a pilot for Adult Swim, and it's called Lusty Crest. And it is weird and out there. It's one of those 15-minute shows. I had so much fun on that show, and we made so much magic, and I don't know what the outcome is going to be of it, but the DP that I worked with, a woman by the name of Mia Henry, I want to work for this woman again. It was one of those things where you just feel like you found the right person that you can learn so much from, and she's got this amazing energy. There's no yelling. It shows that things can be done and you can still have fun. And I crushed it with a bunch of kids who didn't know what they were doing, but we learned together and it was fun. And I'm really proud of that one.
So, I remember being on, one of the first things I worked on, and the AD was this guy who never raised his voice. And the previous thing I worked on was a lot of yelling.
Yeah.
And I remember one time specifically, he was like, hey, like I was like, I think I could have had a career in the film business if I stayed that route. Cause I was one of those like super excited mm-hmm. to be on set. Like, what do you need? Like, right. I kind of liked being a problem solver. Like when you're on yes. the bottom of the rung and they go, listen, here's $50. Mm-hmm. We need crutches and a birthday cake. I don't care where you get it. We right. need that. And that's like, cool.
Absolutely. You're under pressure and you're the hero.
Make that shit happen. Right.
Great.
But I remember, I don't think that was that specific order I just gave did happen mm-hmm. on another set, but not this one. But he said like, I need you to get blah, 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 blah. And I want you to go see what's her name. But be sure you ask nicely. And then so I did that. And then later in the day, like something else happened and blah, blah, blah. And like, as I was walking away, he stopped me. He goes, Matt, be sure to ask nicely. And I was like this guy fucking gets it.
Yeah.
And I went up to him and I was like, hey, like, I don't know, like I'm new to all this, but it seems like a lot of these like guys like yell a lot and you seem to kind of have a totally different vibe. I mean, this guy's probably like sitting on a mountain right now. He's probably that kind of a Zen master. You know what I mean? He just said, I just don't think there's anything you need to get done that you need to raise your voice about. I said, people seem to really respond well to you. And he's like,
Was that here or LA?
This was LA. Yeah. But I wish I remembered that guy because it was one of those like, you know what I mean? Like again, like taking the time with a brand new person
yeah.
to like yeah. sort of like, teach me how to be, and it was fucking the coolest.
Of course it is.
Right?
Yeah, and so many crew members respect that AD way more than the one screaming, trying to, you know, blaming everybody else for whatever shortcomings. It's like the one who just stays level the whole time. You're like, man, I'll go to battle with you any
right.
day of the year.
Right. I wish to have that kind of patience. Like with my own kids, I wish to have that kind of patience.
It's tough, isn't it? It's tough. I don't have kids. I have a niece and nephew, but yeah, no, that those kind of patients in general, that's hard.
Well, I think especially if you're like, you know, I'm like a pretty high strung dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, do I not have a similar energy to when I had one and you knew me?
You do. Yeah.
Right?
You're still bouncing around your chair like crazy. I don't think I've moved a muscle, but you're like all over the place. You definitely have the same energy.
Right. Yeah. But that's what I say about it taking me a while to figure out, you know, there's this phrase that's around a lot now, like double down on your strengths. And that's yeah. kind of where I yeah. finally, again, it took me a while, but I feel like finally like I'm leaning into that.
Yeah.
Like, okay, this is who I am. This is what I'm good at. I should just go instead of apologizing for it or trying to be something else.
Sure.
Because I think that was a big, like, you know, look, so again, like look at the middle class background of my parents literally saying, don't make waves. Like just yeah. go along to get along. Like that was their advice. And to say that to the 14-year-old and 12-year-old me, that's like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Like, I can't wait to do the exact opposite of
sure.
that. Right?
Yeah, once you get out of East Cobb, it's a lot easier. Yeah, no, that, yeah, I agree with that. That's so interesting that your parents said that to you.
Oh, yeah, like old.
Because I always felt that way. Like, don't create waves, don't create waves. Even when I went into the Navy, I remember I stayed
small. Don't make waves in the Navy?
I just stayed small. I stayed out of trouble. I see you over there.
Okay.
I'm proud of your pun. Fan-fucking-tastic. Yeah, I'm just like, stay small. Because if you stay small and you don't make waves, then nobody's going to mess with you. And you're not, you're going to be good. You're going to be under the radar. I couldn't wait to start making waves.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. So what is there anything you want to talk about? What's next? Or do you have any website to promote or Instagram channel?
I don't have any websites. My Instagram is Best Boy Girl Grip. And it's really photographs of my traveling, my favorite photographs. There's no work-related stuff on there. I try and keep social media and work a little bit separately. But as far as the stuff I'm working on now, I am speaking at a couple of the panels for the Atlanta Film Festival. One of them is speed networking. The other one is how you got started. You're the beginning of your career. So you get to hear this story again about
right.
scrubbing a toilet. Other than that, you know, like I said, I'm doing a lot of commercial work, keying that, and producing is my new things. So hopefully in the future, I'll have some fun new projects that I'll be able to promote for some film festivals. But right now I don't. Right now I'm just promoting me and as a new person and making my next step and having a new top to rise to, because you did say cream rises to the top. And for so long, my top was features and television. And that was wrong. The top is whatever we make it. And the next step is what the top's going to be. So that's where I am now.
That's the perfect ending.
Sweet.
Thanks for catching up on 30 years with me.
We'll have to do it again. Not in 30 years, though.
All righty. That was Paige and I. 29 years of catch-up. Wasn't that fun? Did we talk about you in a good way? Did we talk about you in a weird way? Hope it didn't get too weird if you heard your name on this podcast. But either way, let me know if you enjoyed it. We are already talking about, believe it or not, it turns out there is, in fact, a Top Gun 2 coming out in 2020. And we were talking about what a great reunion opportunity that would be. Maybe it'll happen. Maybe it won't. You know how those things go. But putting it out there now for someone that if you want to actually be the organizer of it. And again, for those of you who have no idea who any of these people are and you turned it didn't really do it for you, that's fine. I got plenty of other podcasts in the can for you. But for those of you who were in my class and enjoyed it or didn't enjoy it, or maybe we got some facts wrong, I'm totally open to correction. Let me know, mattbdavis@icloud.com. I'm also Matt B. Davis on all the platforms. These new podcasts come out every single week here in the Atlanta Podcast. Love you, miss you, mean it. I have got to run.